Shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and teacher of eschatology, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and as the Hebrew word Mishpachah means family, I too want to welcome our spiritual family. As we pray, you are being blessed by these somewhat deeper Bible studies and to see how the news events are affecting God's prophetic fulfillment in this end time scenario.
Yeah, we are continuing our study in the book of Jude.
Yes, the vestibule of the revelation, an important and thought out letter written particularly to the Lord's set apart ones.
And a reminder that all of our past programs are archived on shofarministries.net.
That's right. Honey, please ask for God's favor.
Abba, Father, we honor and praise you and ask for your divine protection from so much debauchery increasing in the world. We will remain steadfast in contending for the faith that is within us and is continually growing because of our diligence to your word. May tonight's program not only bless the listeners, but may it bless you, O Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. We continue to pray for our righteous leaders and, as always, for the lost souls of our loved one. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, I heard that Israel hit near Damascus again.
Yeah. An Iranian weapons factory killing 4 Syrian soldiers. Because Iran continues to transfer weapons through there to Lebanon's Hezbollah, therefore Israel needs to keep pushing away Iran's presence. But war is in the air, and Damascus has not yet ceased to be a city, as Isaiah 17 predicts it will. But tensions are high for fulfillment, which comes just before the tribulation that begins in Isaiah 17, verse 4.
And the protesters continue against Bibi's judicial reforms.
Yes, although Bibi says he's working on some partial changes while still hoping for a deal with Saudi Arabia.
News on China?
Yeah. Those kings from the east, as described in Revelation 16, are making more moves. Last week, China and Russia conducted a naval patrol near Alaska using 11 naval ships.
Near Alaska?
Yeah. Our military is calling it an unprecedented provocation, to which we did respond by moving in 4 U.S. destroyers, which broke up the flotilla.
So, how did Biden respond?
Oh, well, he's considering giving them a gift, as in lifting more sanctions. You know, remember, the first thing Biden did when he came into office was cancel the China Initiative, where a special committee had been investigating China.
Well, that was set up by President Trump.
It was. Just another example of Biden's pay-to-play, which has been going on for years. You know, even as a senator, he would help governors get what they want from Congress.
For a price.
But anyhow, much more will soon come to light when the House initiates an impeachment inquiry next month.
Which isn't an impeachment yet.
Right. Just an inquiry allows the House to subpoena people as well as more documents that are otherwise difficult to get.
Meanwhile, Trump received another indictment.
Oh, I know, sadly. It's just to erode his time, wear him out, and bleed him dry. To watch the deep state chip away at him is heartbreaking. At least yesterday, Judge Cannon denied the DOJ's request to keep filing sealed in the case, and she removed 2 filings from the record.
And they haven't as yet imposed a gag order on him.
I know. That would be horrible if he couldn't talk about what's happening to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd still do it. Well, some limitations from the other woke judge from D.C. will probably come. And with that said, they will never let him be president again, no matter what they have to do.
Well, you know, it's all up to God when he wants him in heaven.
Trump says he's saved, and it is God who decides the kings according to his purpose to fulfill his word.
Bible does say evil will wax worse.
And it is. Therefore, judgment is soon, and America will lose its superpower because, as is prophesied, there will be just a one-world government with a one-world leader with a cashless digital society. And we, you and I, are seeing it form.
Well, the good news, we are leaving.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Are we all glad we own our salvation?
Right. It's already paid for. I think you have some quick headlines tonight.
Yes. As in former Pfizer vice president says, the next manufactured, catch the word manufactured, COVID-like crisis is closer than ever.
And he's probably right. How about another?
Okay. Headline, new research, COVID boosters cause much more damage to the heart than previously believed. And another is Senator Rand Paul sends an official criminal referral to the DOJ on Dr. Fauci.
That should be interesting.
Very.
Another as in the war in Ukraine.
Well, Ukraine is calling the recent talks taking place in Saudi Arabia as productive. However, Russia calls them doomed. Therefore, the war continues. Do we have time for one more headline?
Go for it, girl.
Good, because this complements our Jude study concerning the fallen angels and their offspring, the giants, because there have been discovered more than 200 sites designated as giants' tombs on the island of Sardinia.
It's... is an island off the coast of Rome.
Yeah. And there also happens to be a Mesopotamian-style ziggurat on the island, which is not supposed to exist in the Western Mediterranean, but it does.
A ziggurat is similar to the Tower of Babylon.
Right. Having surrounding steps and usually part of an idol temple complex whose purpose is to provide access between heaven and earth. It's just so astounding when you think of the knowledge that we are privy to today.
Especially the supernatural kind.
Amen.
Okay. We welcome your comments and end time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and received with much gratitude. Any correspondence will automatically add you to our monthly newsletter list. You can also donate on the left side of our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching letters archived for your learning pleasure.
So, we left off last week at verse 12, where Jude is revealing that there are hidden apostates amongst us, ugly stains serving only themselves.
And I like Jude's term of clouds without water.
I agree. Mm-hmm. They are like clouds to serve no purpose but to hide the sun. And have no water of the word as metaphorically used in Ephesians 5. So that brings us to verse 13, where Jude continues his expose of these clouds or apostates, describing them as
raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
That's some serious talk. Mm-hmm. Wandering stars can imply meteorites with an aimless course that flash for a brief time and becomes an ash destined for darkness. However, it can also have an indirect meaning, like the fallen angels, who are sometimes referred to as stars in Revelation, who are reserved for darkness forever. But as well, Enoch refers to the fallen angels as wandering stars. So you get the picture. God really hates apostates and apostasy. Now, we're not talking about Christians who honestly make a mistake, but be careful when you say, the Lord told me.
Or I had a dream from God.
Right. When just maybe it was from something else. As well, be careful when interpreting tongues as if from God.
It might be just your flesh.
Okay, the sea is another metaphor used as a home for the unrighteous. As in Isaiah 27:1, we see Leviathan, the beast of the sea. Also in Revelation 13, the beast which comes out of the sea. Remember how Jesus calmed the sea by rebuking it? And we see in Psalms 104 verse 9 that God sets boundaries on the sea.
And in Revelation 17, the harlot sits on many waters.
Yes, and in Revelation 21, there is no more sea in eternity. It's gone. And in Revelation 22, we read about the river of life to flow from the temple. But again, the sea is gone. So in a nutshell, all true apostates, and God knows your heart, are doomed for blackness. Let's continue now where we see Jude really focuses on Enoch. Obviously, he respects him a lot. Jude verses 14 and 15.
Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam.
Oh, now let me stop you there. That's interesting to note. Enoch was taken up, the seventh from Adam, and will be taken up in the 7,000th year also from Adam. And we know that seven is a very important number. So please, start again.
Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints.
This refers to after the seven-year tribulation when Jesus with us returns to earth in Revelation 19. This is the second coming to
execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
That's pretty self-explanatory, but let's look at Enoch, whom Jude is referencing. Thereby, I will add, giving Enoch, I would think, much credibility.
Well, in Genesis 6, verse 24, it says, Enoch walked with God and was taken up.
Yes, and by the way, Enoch's writings were highly regarded and obviously read by many first century Christians. 2 Peter 2 also references Enoch's writings.
As well, Paul in Hebrews 11.
Yeah, and this bears repeating. Enoch was the seventh of the firstborns from Adam, and I am convinced for many reasons that on the first day of the seventh 1,000th year from the creation of Adam, we will also be raptured on either Tishri 1 around sundown or Tishri 2, which is Rosh Hashanah, that lasts 2 days, so I don't know which day or hour, but more on that when we study the fall feasts.
Which is coming up very soon.
Ah, my favorite time of the year. Anyhow, Enoch was a prophet taken up by God before the big flood of Noah's day.
And lived while Adam and Eve were still alive.
Right. They were approximately 600 years old when Enoch had his many amazing experiences. And then wrote them down in ancient Hebrew, which research says he helped originate with God at the helm. Enoch also told his stories orally to his son Methuselah and his grandson Lamech, who was Noah's dad. Therefore, Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. So naturally, Lamech, Noah's father, not only told Noah about Enoch, but when dying, left him Enoch's writings.
I assume on animal skins.
I guess. Anyway, Noah took them on the ark as part of God's plan to preserve them for later generations, and even more miraculously kept them available for us, you and me. Which, by the way, Enoch states right off the bat in his first chapter that his writings are meant for those of the last generation. Now, how cool is that?
Well, when knowledge would increase according to Daniel 12.
And boy, has it. Mm-hmm. So really, for its original preservation, only three people were involved. So Enoch's writings are older than the Bible.
And then Noah lived 350 more years after the flood.
Yes, and was sure to skillfully keep them and then personally give them to Abraham and pass down through Jacob to Joseph, eventually Moses and the Levites, to be eventually carefully hidden in caves by the Essenes, who had broke away from the Sanhedrin's false teachings and who had foreknowledge that Christ would have to die first and prophesied the date to be in 32 A.D. Many believe John the Baptist also knew he would die because he could have been an Essene, for they did live in the desert. Anyhow, the Essenes hid them around 70 A.D. because they were expecting the Romans at any time. So the writings contained the Essene prophecies, which claim Christ's return in exactly 2,000 years from his death. That equals 2032. Subtract 7 for the tribulation, and we should leave by 2025 if these prophecies are correct. Also hidden were the Old Testament writings in Hebrew in clay pots in the caves of Qumran, a very dry climate, and we can attest to that. And lo and behold, were discovered in my generation.
Actually, it was the same year you were born.
Thank you, dear, for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, they're called the Dead Sea Scrolls because the caves are located next to a very salty Dead Sea.
Dead because nothing can live there.
Right. Just way too salty. I think it's like 32%, and our oceans are around 7. But what great minerals it contains. In fact, people travel from all over the world just to dip in it and apply the healing mud of the minerals.
It's truly a God thing.
Amen.
We do recommend you read the Book of Enoch.
Yes, but only the first edition. And that's the only one that's been deemed authentic because others have been added to over the many years of the first century. And I prefer the R.H. Charles translation. Anyhow, the Writings of Enoch is an insightful, supplemental, historical resource, especially written for the last generation of students that have a passion for eschatology and really benefits the more serious student. Approximately 100 references in the New Testament can be connected to Enoch's writings.
As in Paul, Jude, and Peter.
And, of course, Moses, who specifically wrote about Enoch. So he had to have influenced them. And still later, godly men of the first century, I think like Barnabas, he spoke highly and wrote about Enoch. And quite a few other learned teachers as well. And if you really think about it, why would God even allow the references in his God-breathed word if it wasn't advantageous knowing his saints would read it?
Well, especially us.
And, after all, Enoch was taken alive up to heaven. So again, I'm thinking Enoch is pretty important. Anyhow, he certainly is to me. I've thoroughly, really enjoyed his book. Therefore, we should take notice whenever particular writings are suggested by the authors of Scripture. Because the whole Bible is the inspired Word of God.
2 Timothy 3:16.
And many wonder why Enoch, by the way, wasn't included in the canon of Scripture. And there was lots of arguments about it. They went back and forth for quite a while. But eventually, our early fathers decided it was just too deep and might confuse a new believer, especially the younger set.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
I think I do, too. Anyway, the Book of Enoch needs to be read by mature Christians that know the overall scope of the Bible already. particularly about the end of days, you know, about heaven, about hell, and have some knowledge of the different kinds of angels and demons.
Then Enoch builds on that knowledge.
That's right. You know, and just reading Ephesians 5 gives you a good idea of the different levels of different fallen angels and things like that. So, anyway, Enoch, I believe, he was actually a spokesperson for the fallen angels. That's what he says. And according to him, they had the angels had deeply regretted that they had rebelled. But God told Enoch to relay to them that there is now no way that he would redeem them from their horrible rebellion, of which some of them mated with women. You see, they really had tasted the glories of God, and they still blew it.
You know, that's just so crazy to me.
I know. Also, you specifically need to know that scholars say that Enoch's writings never contradict the Bible, just complement it. It's also amazing how Enoch describes the stars and galaxies so precisely that there could be no way to know what he knew unless God showed it to him. And because of the scientific knowledge we now have, it authenticates that Enoch indeed, oh yes, he did walk with God, and not just on a spiritual level, on a physical level as well, in real time. Also in verse 14, Jude directly quotes from Enoch, who says Jesus will return with thousands of his saints.
That's us.
Mm-hmm. As also stated in Revelation 19, who were caught up to meet him in the air 7 years earlier. Jesus will then finish off the judgment of the unrighteous and the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Well, yeah, at the end of the 7 years of tribulation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're just about out of time, and we will conclude the whole letter of Jude. It's only taken us 6 parts to do 1 chapter, but there's so much meat in there, and I sure hope that you totally enjoy it. But I want to add that just as in Revelation, Enoch describes the tribulation with fire, earthquakes, that level mountains, spewing flames, and molten lava, much worse than the judgment of Noah's flood that happened when Enoch's son, the still undefiled Methuselah, would die, which Enoch had prophesied as well. He said, when my father dies, the flood is coming. So, anyway, my heart, and I'm sure yours too, just breaks when I think of so many that just won't accept the truth. They just don't want to hear it. So sad. And it's so much mounds of evidence. Different people with the same accounts of the fact there really is a heaven. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are just plain foolish. You are being set up for the great deception. Jesus, your Savior, has paid your entire debt for all your sins. Would you rather pay it yourself in hell? It's your choice. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, saying, why won't you accept my free gift meant for you, given in agape love of the highest kind? I'm going to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.